Let's turn the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Little 1 hour message. Now from the word just hit right in the spot, and then we go to our homes. And it's more like a study this morning because of the nature of the things. We just can't seem, would not be doing much justice if we just try to run it through, because we've been bringing little messages as a background, as a foundation, and when we hit the prophetic part of this book of Daniel, and it speak of these last days, we'll be able to see it crystallized before our eyes. I trust that He would be gracious to us and just breathe on this word and open it. Let us pray before we read it one more time. Oh, gracious Father, we thank You for Your presence, Lord. It's so good to be in Your house, to worship You, to be in Your spirit, Lord, and to see Your people participating, not just saying amen and screaming and shouting, not just thinking, Lord, of what they can do for themselves, trying to dress well and look decent and maybe keep their homes nice and do these other things, Lord, that would just be for personal benefit, but then giving, making a sacrifice for Your work. God, we see that that is not a modern thing. That was all done through the Old Testament and even the New Testament. Paul to the rub of the churches. And to know many offerings have been made, Lord, even my brothers from overseas, and I've turned it down because I believe that it will show more character, that we can do better, Father. Lord, we don't want to look for handouts, though brothers are willing to help us from overseas. Because we feel that we have a personal obligation, rather than to see people from the outside, Lord, who don't even fellowship here or benefit or part of the ministry here locally, support this work in a way or at a time when we should do it. And I pray You'd help maybe those who may not understand or could see these things clearly to appreciate that this type of integrity of heart pleases You. And when we can walk like this with honor and dignity, then, Lord, we would be something like what Your prophet spoke of the African king's son, who knew He was the son of a king in a strange land. Royal blood was flowing through His veins. And He conducted Himself in that manner. That is where we want to be, Father. And we pray that You would honor the efforts of Your people and the sacrifices. You would bless it and prosper it. Even as You took those 5 loaves and made it do a job that would have normally taken hundreds of loaves to do. We know You can take what we have and work it, because You are a miracle working God, a God of paradoxes. We thank You for that, Lord. We have seen it, and we learn to trust You and believe You for more. And even as we get ready now to speak of Your word a little bit here in the scriptures, our lesson that we have been studying, this book of Daniel, these prophetic things spoken for these last days that will help serve to convince us and show to us the lateness of the hour, the time that we are living in. Help us better understand what You have done through Your prophet in bringing forth this message of these last days, and especially in the light of the modern events, the things that are presently happening, that can show us, Lord, we need to be prepared even at this time. It's not time for putting things off and letting things go by, but to be more diligent and apply ourselves with a greater responsibility. If the word would have that kind of effect upon us, it would make us a better people, it would serve its purpose, Father. We ask that You would bless us in the preaching of Your word and the hearing of Your word. And may You get glory out of this series. We thank You in advance. For we pray and believe in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, as he is drawing to your attention on Wednesday night, different visions, whenever it's been spoken, He would say, I'm the third year of Belshazzar, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, in the fourth year of Darius, or in the third year of Belshazzar. And the Bible does that to give you an understanding of the sequence of how the revelation was unfolding to Daniel. And if we know the sequence in which it was coming, adding more and more light and making it plain all the time, we would know what kind of experience he was having the revelation gradually being unfolded to him and bringing a greater faith and a greater understanding in what was happening around him and what was yet to come. So it's important you observe and don't pass over those things. The first of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, visions of his head upon his bed. You know, it would be like we say, and in the maybe the fourth year of A&R Robinson, I had a dream that there's going to be a coup in the second month. Then somebody, we know afterwards, who know the history, we know this person get that 3 months or 4 months before it actually happens. Because it was in the fourth year of that man, this thing took place in the country, and how a new type of society emerged after that event. And then we begin to notice that people would come in the service and sit down and observe our activities, and we begin to be closely monitored, because we were not part of the present system. You see? So right in there, the way things are presented, so much truth is condensed, automatically condensed the way it is presented. So it's important that you could see what is condensed, and then you could see how it comes out. So he had his dreams and visions. He said, then he wrote the dream and told some of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle wings. I beheld till its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. The lion's heart was taken away, and a man's heart was given. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between its teeth. It was eating, it was devouring, it was its prey. It was, you know, it had conquered. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. You would check them in the vision, you see? And I considered their horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the root. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. May the Lord bless you and good you have a seat. Just hold the Bible here, so we continue reading, just to have you seated. Let's just keep on reading. I stopped up to there Thursday night because I know it would be impossible to even get beyond even laying the little background, so we just want to continue on. The vision continues to unfold now. As a prophet, when you get a vision many times of coming in different phases, and each phase bringing a particular revelation, like in the 10th vision, one phase brought 2 little Mexican boys. you know, pulling this thing on his by this great arena. Next phase, he's out fishing by a lake. Next phase, he's out having a prayer line. Next phase, he's, you know, releasing a baby shoe. Next phase, he's there coming down on a platform to preach in a little wooden place. And he would say, as each time in the vision, he said, I go in a higher dimension. Because it was going deeper into that world of vision, and each dimension would be taken into in the vision, each realm of the vision, it would unfold something else. So you'd be conscious that it was one continuous unfolding of a vision. And it was a vision of symbol. But in that symbol, it had things like in his ministry, for instance, I'm talking about Brother Abraham's 10 vision, which you're all acquainted with, just to give you a little parallel. It would have things of his past ministry. It would have things of his present. It would have things that was coming to pass, that was going to come to pass in the future. And then when the interpretation began to come, he said, as when you went out in your first pull, he said, them ministers, they were pulling for the money because the offering was more important than the altar call. He said, and then this next part of the vision, he said, was when you were trying to see the Pentecostal supernatural things and about carnal impersonations. He said, but now you're going to go into another kind of ministry, and this one will not be impersonated, and don't tell nobody about it. He hadn't gone into that realm yet, but he was seeing it. It's all been shown to him. Well, here Daniel, another prophet, is getting these visions. And when you realize a vision is not what you want to see, it's what God is showing you. And God is communicating things that are going to happen in the last days, but God wants to communicate it in a way that it will remain a secret. Because God can have given it plain. We see God do that sometimes in the Bible. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take Mary, fear not, take Mary thy wife, because she's conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. Take them and go into Egypt. They need no interpretation at all. You know, just a plain instruction what to do. And the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to the wise men, saying, go this way and don't go back to Herod. Plain, without any need. You understand that? So, but God wants to hide it. God give prophecy in the Bible. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places in the last days. That don't need no interpretation. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. Men's hearts filled with fear. All the heart attacks in this day. And they are proven it by statistics. Is more upon men than women. You show even the accuracy of the Lord Jesus speaking them things in the last days. Go on to show that how, you know, in the last days, you know, they're going to bail and they're going to inhabit and human is going to be fear and all these things. As well as they didn't know. They don't need no interpretation. But then we see that God at times give prophecy but in a symbol form. Like we have in the Bible where Joseph was interpreting the dream of Pharaoh. And he saw 7 lean cows come out of the river and eat down the field. And then he saw 7 fat cows afterwards. And then he couldn't understand what these cows mean and what all these things mean. But then he began to accept us as part of the members of the bride of Christ that is upon the earth in this hour. Yet we find that not strange because they didn't accept the first one either. And the others is only the same thing as the first one. If they would accept this and reject the first one, something would be wrong. Amen. Because this is just more like the same thing. Amen. So when we look and we see how these things are happening, it reaches a place, something like that is a barrier. When you have, you know, when God hasn't maybe dealt with you in a way to console you, that bothers you sometimes. Because the human nature don't adjust easily to rejection, these things. So there's a question. Sometimes a lack of revelation in the will of God, you keep trying and trying and trying to get to be accepted. Amen. Hoping that maybe a turnip will give up some blood. But there's a blood of a turnip. So after a while, you realize, it's not for them. Exactly. They probably around the world 7 times from denomination to denomination to denomination, preaching, hoping one day, trying to get them together, trying to unite them, trying to do everything. It never did it. But had we put there first as a witness. And if it's the life of Christ, it's going to go for there first. See? And then when he went, Paul went out over and over and over, and then Dan came and said, he dusted his feet. He was finished.
Amen.
And so it is the honor from it down to the field then. You don't go do nothing no more, because it's another time. And that is the thing with him. He didn't say, okay, well, I must go back out and start the healing revival. He knew that time was finished. That was done for a purpose. That was not the major. That was only a minor. That was only a signpost. That was not the city. Amen. He knew that. Now, if you don't know that, you're going to try to keep having that. But when you know when you have a revelation, the will of God, what God wants done now, then you know that had its time. That was Monday. That had its season. That is over. Now it's Tuesday. See, and they never moved. And they wasn't hearing the word saying that something more was coming. And when the God moved on a higher level, like the prophet could say, he said, did you notice how they're singing that song on a high octave there? He's not where the clock is. See? Now, sometimes you're singing your clothes and you've been blessed. But in the air, he saw the Spirit pick that up, right there on that note. And then he saw the Spirit, you know, was right there confirming to him now exactly where he had preached that message. That threefold revelation, showing what the church is going to be when she come back. How she be born and born in flesh and flesh. He was showing him that would be happening right there. Is that right? Sure. Showing him the hour, and then here the Holy Spirit vindicates that on the wall, right there. And you see how, you know, we think it is phenomenal how Daniel, you know, came and put the hand right in the wall. Oh my. And how the angel came down and all the people was amazed. But right in this day, the prophet had drew it on the wall. And the pillar of fire coming for 400-500 people and then get right over everything in the wall. And he was showing how the Gentile age was over. Seven church ages is run out now. Is that right? Time for Revelation 10, the seventh seal. To come at the end of the seventh age. Then God showed in the heaven and blacked it out the same way. Sure. Anyway, when you look and you see God keeping his word, then friends, let me tell you, those things that we learn back there, that don't ever stop, you know. That keep growing. Your understanding of those things don't ever cease. It keep growing in a greater realm all the time. Because it was the same God working in the same way to prove he was the same God. Because he could not prove he was the same God if he didn't work in the same way and do the same things. Amen. And then, when he did those things in that manner, then we begin to realize, you know, look, that was the grace of God. Look at that blasphemous angel. That will ever become a historical fact. But every time we look back at that day, we know that seven seal is running out. We know time is no more for the Gentiles in that seven seal. We know Revelation 11 went right back to the Jews. We know that blast was Revelation 10 being fulfilled. Is that right? Sure. Revelation 10, time is no more. Amen. But there's one, a final part of the final age. That final ride. God must prophesy again. The Holy Spirit is going to sweep over that bride around the world. Amen. Glory. Recycle back the same message. Say back the same thing. Amen. We can have our interpretation of that. But brother, when we can see in the midst of so much confusion, so much voices, so much ideas, so much interpretation, and so much all different kind of reasons and well-worn explanations, and you can see the Holy Spirit take the very same word and brother recycle that word and put the emphasis right back there and make it plain, and even the thing that was laying there we couldn't even recognize was there, begin to bring it right up and show it to us there too. We must be able to recognize the Holy Spirit, because we know the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when you see the purpose being manifested, the Holy Spirit's presence becomes visible. He is revealing his own works, his own characteristics. He is keeping exactly his very program that he said he was going to keep at this time. That is why a believer with the Holy Spirit, they watch close, they examine, they read the word, they know what God promised, they work for it, they listen attentively, they try to grasp every word, something in the dark, yeah, they go in prayer, they search it out, amen, they search the scriptures, they come fellowship, they ask questions, they get it cleared up, they get a greater faith. That is a real believer. Because they know something is happening if you're under that seventh seal. Sometimes you watch people behavior, you know they ain't see that seventh seal yet. That seventh seal tells you this world is falling apart, this world is finished. And you can't labor for the kingdom to come. You can't get ready to go out. You trying to hold back this in this world here? It means you ain't see that thing yet. Something is missing. That stone needs to smite that image and break up all them things. All that Greek seek wisdom. See? All that Babylonian nonsense. Amen. See, it's inside of the air. Sure. All that Roman spirit. See, come on to the daughters. It's still all inside of the air. They take the word of this hour, the coming of that stone. Amen. Now break them things. Break them strongholds. Drive them things out. Amen. Break it up in your life. Hallelujah. And that become the real image inside of the air. That begin to fill your earth. And we took that. We took that little, I took that as a background message to come up to this public. I told you, I said, when we get that from Daniel 7, that is prophecy. All that just prophecy for the last days. See? I said, because the first part, you know, Daniel in Babylon, how he went down there and different things, experiences. Daniel went to the trembling land there, and he was in fire with furnace, and he began to put the image back there. All those things is historical. See? But then when we hit those visions, seal up the book, Daniel, all them things, what's going to happen in that fourth kingdom? How are you going to devour the whole earth? How are you going to destroy wonderfully that peace? How are you going to cause craft to prosper? How are you going to come and make war against the saints? See, all them, those parts of it now, they never see it down through the ages. And people knowing that the book of Daniel, brother, when Paul in 2 Thessalonians was telling the Thessalonian church, if you remember when I was with you, I told you those things. How the man of sin will come and the fallen away will come first before the man of sin be revealed. And Paul has said out of the book of Daniel, and God will determine the bride of his coming. Is that right? And Paul is teaching them back that day. And you tell him, he said, that mystery in the book of Daniel is already at work here. And I in the fourth age, in the fourth kingdom, the pagan Rome part, was seeing all them things being fulfilled. We in the paper Rome part. Paul was in the pagan Rome part. Paul is the paper Rome only by prophecy and vision. Paul died before that. Is that right? Sure. Paul and some imperial Rome, they were before Nicaea Rome. Programmers for the church and state married. I hope I ain't jumping and going too far because all that's in the word I've been taught to you over the years. It's just crystallized inside of the air. Amen. And he was standing there and he said, that's pretty. That's pretty in that church there. He said, that is the spirit Daniel was talking about. Because look at the coming skin flat trees. Look at the taking over the spiritual kingdom. All right, look at the conquering ladies. Because he could see with the same spirit conquer the whole world. Amen! That Nicolaitan start there on a white horse, it got a crown when it became incarnate in a man, is that right?
That's right.
And then become a false prophet. And I want to get down here because I'm a preacher, is that I come out, you know, you realize only the ones who build up in the word could see the face and catch the angle. But you see, it's something happening different. And that's why to show you the word, Daniel and them, back there, God has given it to them, and it was being sealed up in the book, it was being condensed, it was being written in mystery, and no mind could figure it out. It was going to take the history being made to put the two together and see how the prophecy is becoming history. And what's the attraction? Prophecy is becoming history. Exactly. And when it came, I took heaven's new rule to show you. Daniel and knew that. They understood the sovereignty of God. They understood predestination and election. Because if God is giving you a revelation that this man, Cyrus, who came up the air and was king, he was told he was going to come and possess the gate with two leaves. He was going to come and the gate will not be shut. Those minute details, that gate was always closed. And that revelation remained open at night and the man come right in. When those things were shown so minute, 175 years before the man born, he said the man will do two things. Just like he said, Malachi 4 will do two things. According to Malachi 4, 5, he'll send the children back to the fathers. According to Revelation 10, 7, he'll reveal the mystery of the seven thunders. This man is going to conquer Babylon and going to send the Jews back in the homeland. People born for things in the earth. Whether it's sinners, servant of God, whoever you are, born for something. Amen. You have to take your pleasure. Drop from your mother's womb what you are. Amen. So when Daniel and them began to see that wasn't just information to them. They was realizing, God shouldn't go, Cyrus, how much more me?
Because I'm elect. Amen. So Daniel, they were getting faith. They were seeing his own prophecy as he spoke. He saw it come to pass. Then he realized what he was seeing as prophecy. It wasn't a new thing because God had already shown Isaiah and Jeremiah it. So he realized, so when he took what Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what God was showing him personally, the same thing. What was happening right around him. All his anointed is faith. He could walk out there before the king without fear, without trembling, and pronounce the word of God. Amen. Because he knew he had first feared the Lord. Then Paul and them, they could look and see all these things were fulfilling succession, and then say, we now are in this day. Is that right? Because Jesus told them that the sanctuary is going to be destroyed after him. Jesus proved he was Messiah. Is that right? And he proved not one stone remains on this temple. Well, Daniel says, Messiah will be cut off and the people will be prince. That fourth power was going to come and destroy the sanctuary. And Jesus told him, don't let your flag be the winter. And you go and get the lordship of Israel quick. Get them in before that slaughtering angel come. Is that right? So Paul and knew the message was urgent. Everybody was preaching that word. Because they know, according to the word of the Son of Man, those things must come to pass. According to Daniel 9, Messiah was caught off. They could look back and see the Calvary. And then they could look and see after that. And the sanctuary will be destroyed by flood when the people of the prince come. And you know that is the next part of the scripture right here. And then Jesus turned around and says, when they begin to gather around you and dig down in ditches, he said, you'll sort of weep. He said, don't weep for me. You should recognize my visitation right now. But in them days, weep for yourself. Amen. And he begins to point them out. And Paul knew that when Jesus was preaching and teaching, he was identifying that that is the next attraction right there. Destruction of the temple, people of the prince. So how much more did Paul and them know that that prince, that little horn that we're going to get to, was that fourth kingdom? And they were in it. And from then Paul realized that that Roman power there was that fourth kingdom because it had conquered the whole world as Greece did, as the Medes and Persians did, as Babylon did. Now they had their time. What did Paul do with the Thessalonian church? He went to the book of Daniel. And when he said that shake, he said, remember when I was with you, I told you these things. Don't be troubling my shaking spirit. He says, look, the Lord is going to come with his angels in flaming fire. He's going to do all these things first. 2 Thessalonians 1, is that right? He's going to fulfill the work of faith with power. Then what's going to happen? He's going to destroy them who bear the gospel, even the man of sin. He's in that very man, that mystery is at work right now. That very same spirit is all in the earth here right now. He said, that is the beast I'm fighting with under the that everywhere I go, he said, you pray for me. Amen. That's why I'm preaching that word. I'm up against them powers. Because Satan has transformed his angels as ministers of light. Preaching another Jesus, blinding the minds of the people from the gospel. They're making it harder and harder. They're already closing doors on us. And they're falling away. Come here. They squeeze. They come here. But in that first aid, they're closing doors on them. He said, pray that God open my door. Fetch the door. Utterance. Then we can go in and proclaim this truth. Because they're evil men. All not. They're enemies of the cross. Not all men have faith. Is that right? But let me tell you. That word to them was real. Because they know they were in the prophecy. Daniel knew he was in the prophecy. Paul knew he was in the prophecy. Malachi 4 came and said, look, Eisenhower and Khrushchev behind the clay. Look them right there. He said, we are in the prophecy too. Now what are we seeing this hour? Can't we see? We caught right up in the midst of the same thing. Amen. If I can give me a title this morning, was the four beasts of the seven, Daniel chapter 7. Okay, let's go on. Now what? So you find then. If you look at the background, just to refresh your mind on some of the background we're laying. After the heavens do rule, showing how that revelation of sovereignty and election and predestination. What does God really be looking for? To give you faith and to show you who you are. To take the fears and doubts out of you. And when you're in an atmosphere and you're under a system that wants to crush you and break you, a system that wants to devour you and tear you apart, and could make your life fearful, and you want to store in bonds, and you want to do this, and you want to do the other, because of the fear that the system is generating. We could turn you into a vagrant in the morning. You know, we could sort of ruin your home economically. We could put you on the breadline. We could fire you. We could cut you off before you even get pension. Take away all these things. When God see a system oppressing principality and power, bring that kind of fear, what God does? Start with the election, predestination, who you are. It's impossible for you to be lost. Words in you is greater than that. God who called you is more than able to take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God does. Satan works through fear. God works through faith. Satan by his lies brings fear. God by his truth brings faith. Amen. That's your fear of the little flock. It's your Father good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Don't you fear nothing. The kingdom that they have is falling apart. But you have a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. It's God bringing it to you by his word, friends. Our entrance has been ministered to that kingdom. That very smiting stone, speaking his word, that Son of Man being revealed, is ministering an entrance into that kingdom. The mysteries of that kingdom being revealed. Is the Father giving you it? Because he's revealing it to you. And making you partakers of it. Partakers of that nature that identify you in that kingdom. Bringing you into union with your heavenly King. That's why you can confess you are a pilgrim and stranger. That's why they hear we have no continuing city. Why? It's been revealed to you by the same faith of Abraham is inside of you, and you're walking in the steps of that same faith, and that faith brought him to meet Jehovah Jireh. Amen. That faith changed his body and brought him back young. That same faith saw the fire hanging over the Gentile world to destroy it. Glory be to God. That's the same faith in your heart as a royal seed this morning. Amen. So that is what we are seeing. God ruling. Isn't that the devil do give us and devil divide that? Is God ruling all these things? God wants you to be there. God wants to give you that position. God wants to remove kings to set you up. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God will not take you down like he took on Moses too. Tell I'm not a Pharaoh, God who don't know you. Amen. The same way. Hallelujah. My. You have faith because you want to be a tree. That when the watchers come down, they say, what a lovely tree. Put some more fertilizer. Send them some four-man latrine. You don't want the watchers come and say, you are down. Take down the fruit. Scatter the leaves. You don't want to be that kind of tree? You and the water say, who more else shall we feed with the fruit of this tree? How far again should we let its branches extend? Amen. Glory! That's what you want God to give to you. Because like Nebuchadnezzar, God to me, he was that tree. See? And God was revealing those. And then we came and we took beginning and ending of Gentile dispensation. I'm sure the prophet is making a parallel. He said, what's the way it coming? They had an image worship. They had religious persecution. Had a handwriting on the wall. Had all these different things back there. Is that right? Had a prophet revealing an unknown language. It's all there. And show us when it's going back out. It goes back out the same way. And we took it and show, here we are in the age when it's going back out. Daniel was in the age when it's coming in. And we again see the mystery handwriting, the mystery wall. It's called a mystery Babylon. It's a mystery wall. It's a mystery handwriting. But we see a prophet who had the mind of Christ to reveal that mystery handwriting. Who said, America, you're wearing the bands and some wanting. He said, Russia, 50 years ago, you reject the Holy Ghost and you're finished. That's why I become atheist today. He said, England, you reject Butter Buzzard and all them back there when they went with the Holy Ghost to you. You turn down John Wesley and all them, you're finished. Is that right? Exactly. He said, the whole world is past redemption. They have found one to be weighing the balance of God's word. God have come in this day, that angel with his scale and the sword. He said, come, this is a droid long road. We've got to know that a judgment angel. The sword takes you judgment, the scale to weigh them out. Who is going to, there's a John Michael that way. Revelation 10:1, amen. He's going to come. Who was that prophet? Weighing them out. Who had that sword? Is that right? So, brother, and you see the devil cast down your own name. Amen. Kick that old mamba down in the back there looking up to see that angel with the drawn sword chopping him to pieces. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. But all the people having the wall and different things. But that's this very day. Because now is come salvation. Now is the kingdom of God. Now is the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our enemy shall be cast down. Hallelujah! And they overcame by the word of his mouth and the blood of the Lamb. Sure. Then from there, I'm going to take things that shall be hereafter. I'm going to come on to the prophetic side and says, look, Daniel was seeing these things coming in. And how he saw it and he was watching for it. And then he had to have faith to say, that is the interpretation there. And we took how it took him 48 years before he even understood that the chest of silver was Medes and Persians. But that night, when the inspiration comes to interpret the handwriting on the wall, he spoke it out. He said, divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. He knew who the next kingdom was. Because it wasn't revealed in the image. God revealed the first one, the head of gold, and revealed the last one, the God of heaven, set up his kingdom. And the other three, God didn't say nothing about it. He just said, another kingdom will overcome this one, another one will overcome that one, but he didn't name them. He didn't name them. And in the same way, here we see too much of nations in the world today. And we want to know, if we can know who they are, we'll see what they're doing, what their policy is. We'll see where they're heading. We see how God's word is coming to pass. We'll be able to identify and look and see what's happening. That's why the prophet had to come to reveal Revelation 13 was America. Ezekiel 39 was Russia. Is that right? Revelation 11 is Israel, Moses and Elijah, 4,000 years. It's been out of the Bible to show to us. Then he placed the church right in the midst of those things. Then he showed the wars. And how the earth went through pains and all these things. And what happened under the wall? Then why he was sent out is all connected together, he said. Then we coming in right here. What are we looking for when we see all these things? It's time to go. And that's why we want to tell one another, run, brother, run. Brother, I remember, they have a picture. It just came to my mind. I have to say it. There's a picture I saw in a magazine once where they show when they had the Vietnam War. And a city was being bombed. And they had this girl in the picture was when she was stark naked. The clothes all just burned off of her. Years after, she became a big woman, and they brought back the picture of the woman, and they bring back the original picture, and they show how she was that same one that time when in Vietnam when it was under war. But they show the horror, because the photographer being able to catch that shot, and the horror that when that bomb fell, and the fumes alone begin to just turn that, rip that thing to shred, disintegrate the clothing, everything, and they're horror on their face, seeing villages just level and disappear like that. And they're running for their life. You know, it's like what's happening now. It's like the coming destruction. If you have a revelation to see what is coming, friends, solar radiation is going to burn this earth. Amen. The seed is going to become dead, corrupt like a man's blood, would cease to function. Amen. All the fish and all the living things are going to come and die and stench. All the fish and dust are going to collapse. All the boats will be unable to sail because they have no more tide, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? The moon turns to blood, become red. All them signs in the moon there. See the ocean hole destroyed. The meteor is going to fall and hit the earth. All the ocean begin to expand and cover up all the islands and all these things. When you see what's going to come, the famine and these things going to grip the place. The source of plague is going to start to hit all the people. No more beach bathing. All beaches will become like places like deserts. Isolated. Summertime, in that such a heat, everybody long sleeve and high necks. Nobody wants to close off the world. Because sores and all kinds of over that. There's no healing for. Fowls of the air plucking it, eating them and the smelling and rotting right there in that condition. But when you see what is coming, we'll run with more determination to survive and escape that thing. That heat of that explosion, when the vile things are appalled, you think that horror and that guilt is something. That's why we hear when we hear in the word, we say, we look and we see a brother lagging back, we say, still lagging back, we say, kind of want to get tired, say, don't give up now, run! With everything you have, don't stop! Put in everything you have, run for your life, don't look back! Why? Because you know, it's right here, friends, that Holy Spirit, the power of fear, not little children, it's just something will pick you up. Amen. It may look like the arm is one thing, God can pull you back. But all of a sudden, I'm going to pick you up. Amen. A rendezvous. Amen. Hallelujah. Them angels are going to drop down and pick you up. Amen. Glory be to God. Then he will stand around the rings of the earth in the air, looking back to him being burned and heading for glory. Oh, man, the old, we're going to meet the captain himself of the old ship of Zion there in the air. Hallelujah! He'll take the ship into that golden shore, in that heavenly harbor. Hallelujah! What a homecoming time that will be! When we think of what's happening here this morning, and the Holy Spirit breaking forth His word, and dipping our wick tongue in the oil, that our flame could burn a little brighter. Amen. When we think of it, friends, we should embrace it and hold it. It should mean more to us than life. We want to grasp every word. We want to receive it faith and we want to believe it. It can't be an emotional thing. Woke up and say, oh God, reveal it to me. I need to know it. I have to know it. I must know it. I'm willing to pay the price for whatever it takes, Lord. It must be mine. Amen. It means more than life to me. Oh, that God can deal with us in our hearts in such a way that better all foolishness and all insincerity will just evaporate, disintegrate, disappear. When you look at anything, white robes, washing the blood, holding the palm in their hand, amen. Singing, rejoicing, with a name sealing their forehead. Amen. Glory be to God. My thing that shall be hereafter now. I'm writing the prophecy now. See, that will start of Daniel 7. Those things. But I want to give you a little background first of them three beasts. And show you something there. You can look at it. And see how those things comes up. Because Babylon is Iraq today. It's still here. Iran is Persia. And the Medes, if you look on the map, the brother asked me, he said, what are the Medes, the people of the Medes? On Bible Atlas, look up on the map there, exactly what the Medes is. It's all absorbed into Persia today. And because you see, even among them people there, they have different nationalities. You know? Remember how even in Iraq had these Kurds? And you go way back, and how they see the man had loose the poison gas upon the Kurds because the Kurds were siding with the Iranians. Because they're all on a landmass. It's an invisible line that separates them. It's just going to be a fence. You say, your bungee in here and my bungee started. That's it. See? But you look back and see where the peoples were in the land, in Bible times, when the Spirit identified them, geographically where they were, and you see where they are today. And Greece is still there, friends. Greece is still there. They control the shipping and these things still. So, all the points, and then Rome is still here. You know what I'm saying? They're all here. So even though some have gone different names, and these things, the spirit that motivated them human beings there, the land that they live in, and the history that was made in that land, because they are only a product of that history. That is the identity. Your history is identity. And those people, let me tell you, history was never a lost thing to them. So us in the West here, we get confused all kind of histories until we had to really find our roots in the last days. But to those people, their history is recorded, is there. Many of the ancient civilizations like that is pointed out, is right there. Look, the man is even trying to rebuild back Babylon itself, the very city that they placed. Trying to build back the hanging gardens with the Greeks, when the Greeks had seen it, Alexander the Great, and he moving and he had seen those things. He called one of the seven wonders of the world. When the Greeks is the one who named the seven wonders of the world, and they named the hanging gardens of Babylon as one of the seven wonders of the world. Because Babylon was a flat place. Because they built it in the plain in the land of China. Genesis 10. It's all a plain, is that right? Yeah. Flat country. But where the woman come from, his wife come from, the history says, that this man's wife, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, she was from the hill country, and you know, they had so accustomed to gardens and the terrain and different things. But do you think what they're doing today is a modern thing? That man, they build them gardens on levels until like it created like fertile mountains all along the boat and everything else. You read the history of Babylon and tell you how much land they have there, that fertile land they had within the city and how they build the city. That's why they never even consider the threat of invasion. You watch and see what's happening in this present invasion right here, right now. The nations of the world has in their mind, they have food that could only last 6 months. Pierpont the last much month. This last much month, they're going to start to feel the pinch about a year, about within a year. So we stand here united and hold off, we're going to have them crawling on their knees. Well, that's exactly what, when you invade in a city, that way they're taking a consideration. Because as long as they can survive inside there, with everything they have need of, and no, don't need no outside aid for nothing to come in, independent or nothing from the outside to exist, they can ignore you. You only waste your time hanging outside the yard. Like the rich man Lazarus, you go back to Lazarus outside the rich man gate. And rich man eating everything up inside there. You know what I'm saying? Well, so Babylon was. They didn't feed for that food for 20 years. Which nation could keep an army 20 years watching outside the gate? They can do it. That's why the man caught the strategy to divert the riverbed and come up through the gate. And they say choose a national holiday when the whole city was gone. Like, it's like how they made the attack here. They said the attack was precise. Because history have it all accounted. You take any Bible dictionary and go back and find the history of the places and they give you the account of the history of the Babylonian invasion, but they don't give you all the details and the strategy employed in the invasion. But the Bible refers to it because God knows in history it is documented there to support the Bible is correct. Bible just called the man name and the year it was done and who was the reigning king in Babylon at the time. It just condenses it there for you. Then all you see, what was happening? And they said the man built a big artificial lake. And there are certain types of perfection. You know, I think that New York Times had an account of it. And they say how the Muslim plan, they say they work to perfection like that. But it just in the end, what was to do after they reached there, they didn't know what to do. But you watch back when they laid that invasion right there. They had a diversion thing through the whole security forces in the chaos. Because why you hit the police service and they're running everywhere, helter skelter, don't know what to do, and you get across to the media and the looting taking place there, but they don't know what's going on the other side, and you have full control. Well, so did Cyrus, and they, when they had that plan, they moved right and they kept that like that. The very same night, the king was killed, the city was taken, everything, and they were causing festivity. So the same like they waited while the whole city would be there, worshipping the gods of all the who give them victory over different nations. By the time they're celebrating the victory over Israel and adoring the God and elevating the God to be greater than the God of Israel, in honor of the God who gave them victory over Israel, they say, bring the vessels out. So okay, every nation where they went, they brought back evidence of their victory. And that became like offerings to your God who leads you in battle. Part of the religion, it's part of the court, it's part of the policy. It's what motivates and influences the population to show that God, their God is with them, things is working for them, they are overcoming, everything is stable. And that's exactly. And Daniel and they saw those things, they understood it. And friends, that is why to us today, when these seven seals are open, to uncover these mysterious symbols in the book, we could see what these things mean. Before we go on from verse 8, because it's quite a lot and the time is about finished, I want to just try quickly them three first beasts. So when we hit that fourth beast, then from here on, it has to be the mark of the beast, come back to the seal of God, and all those things, because that's right where we are bringing these things back in from another angle. Now the first thing in Daniel 2, notice when he began to write his vision, he said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now to know what sea he's talking about, you have to take a map and look and see exactly where Daniel was, what his sea was there, and these nations that was rising up, every one of them four beasts that represented them four kingdoms, they all is coming from around that Mediterranean Sea. That's where the world civilization was centered back in that time. And he said, the winds strove upon the sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, does anybody know in the Bible what winds mean? War and strife. Exactly. And does anybody know what sea mean? Nations, murder your people. Well, exactly, how's it there? The sea wasn't behaving that way for itself. Is the winds what was causing the sea to go into convulsions and get rough and toss and And that way, as the prophet said, you see like a lake there. It have water in it, but then all of a sudden like a wind coming upon it, and the water begins to move and it begins to drop all the things inside it. It doesn't have no revival because the rushing wind coming upon it. Well, so it is here. Daniel is seeing that these winds is what is causing the sea to go into tumult and all these different things, because is this political strife among the nations that is what was causing the multitude of people to go into chaos. Because how did Babylon fall? Invasion and war. How did Persian and Persian fall? Invasion and war. How did Greece fall? Invasion and war. How did Israel go into captivity? Invasion and war. You understand that? Exactly what it was. So winds means strife and war. Revelation 7. The angel is holding the four winds that wouldn't blow upon the sea and upon the trees and the earth to hurt these things. And then Revelation 17, it says how, 17:15, the angel told John, he says, the sea, the beasts that come out of the waters, he says, it speaks of peoples and multitudes of tongues and nations and these things. So as a result of the blowing of the wind, and all the kingdoms begin to arise and begin to fall because of political disturbance. How did the Medes and the Persians rise and become strong? Through the conquest, through the wars, through the conquering territory, through the overcoming many nations. How did in Europe, what happened in World War II? Wars and strife. Why? Because people begin to go for and conquer, and Germany is becoming greater and greater, and they're talking about the Third Reich, and they're going to rule the world now, and all these different things. All right, and then what happened? Then the other nations got involved, and other powers like America, like England, and all the other beasts, these other nations begin to come into the fray too. Is that right? So there's always wind, is war and strife. Political disturbance, in other words. In one place, the trumpets speak of political disturbance, speak of wars and strife and rumors of wars and these things. And they see the multitude of people, the nations, because that region had all them different nations, but some was not dominant powers at that time, but yet they were nations. Egypt was a broken nation, a broken power. Israel was a conquered power. See, so they was not being considered like having world influence at the time. They got Trinidad as a power. The Caribbean is power, Cuba is a power, but they have no world influence in the world today. There is certain major nations that dominate the world, that change the world, that control the affairs of the world. The rest just fall into a region and have to go the way the political tide is going. Well, here Daniel was seeing this, and God was showing him it in symbol form that this was coming up. So the sea and the waters, always in the Bible, is used to represent nations and people and tongues. And if we look in Daniel 7 verse 17, maybe I'll have to read it. Four are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. You want to know what it meant? I'm trying to close out quickly. So we're going to finish here. He was worried about it. And he wanted to understand it. And in the vision, there were some people there in the vision. Supernatural people. And he went and asked one of them. And they began to tell him the interpretation. He said, these great beasts, which are four kings. Who shall arise out of the earth? But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others. Is that fourth one that bothered him? Exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and its nails of brass, which devoured, broke in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. You know what the residue means? It means the remains of something. And it had Babylon remains after the Medes and Persians had captured it. The Medes and Persians, it had their remains after Greece had captured it. And that Greece remained after Rome had captured it. And they were, the only to conquer Rome was a heavenly power. Every one of them earthly powers was overcome by an earthly power. But the fourth kingdom, there was no earthly power to overcome because it overcame every earthly power. It had to be overcome by a heavenly power. See? That's why heaven is coming back to earth now. That's why God and man is coming back together in this day, see? That's why we're in that time. God himself has come down from heaven. Now what? So, look here. The remains, this beast had stamped the remains of the city, had broke them up. So Rome conquered every one of them. And of the 10 horns, remember out of that fourth beast came up 10 horns, that were in its head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. 3 of them 10 horns fell when this other little horn had come up among the 10. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth. But that horn that came up, Daniel said, had eyes and had a mouth. And that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. Him. When they want help in the country, they go to him. His look is more stout than them. When he speaks, more people tremble than when them speak. His look was more stout than his fellows. But I tell you, Daniel is noticing these things. Now what? I beheld in the same horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. He said, but isn't that a strange thing? This man, more powerful than these 10 kings, and this man, he'll fight the 10 kings. I mean, 3, subdue 3 right away. But it seems that he just turned around now and started to make war with the saints. Not even denominations. You understand? Who is this fella? What are we up against? And he made war with them, with the saints, and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came. Here white like wool. He is here ready. Feed reveal. Let me get a noise. Victory time for the saints. Hallelujah. Glory. Brother, down through the age we come to many hard times. I'm going to stay back and get trampled by that same king too. But as far as we who in the bride concern, that kind of licks is over for us. Hallelujah! There's a power in this message to bind that man by the knot. To tie up that little horn. Amen! Glory! Whoever given him his power, there's a sword here. Amen! Glory! To deal with that spirit. Because brother, he in bride form. Amen! We'll deal with the same one he does it back in the wilderness. Amen. Yes, sir. Until the Ancient Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Even literally. You hear that? Even literally. Right now, we have received a kingdom that can't be removed. Friends, I'm not saying that you go back and tell me what the prophet had in his mind when he preached world is again falling apart, but we have a kingdom that can't be removed. See what Brother Branham was talking about when he stood on that seventh seal and knew that rock called hands was inside of him. A stumbling stone and a rock of offense to the religious world. But here, look what it's doing for us. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Now, if you notice, in verse 17, 4 great beasts, which are 4 kings, who shall arise out of the earth. And the saints of the Most High shall arise and take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. He's using kings and kingdoms interchangeably. Because over here, the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom. The four beasts is 4 kings, but the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom. He's using king and kingdom interchangeably. And when God told Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. He was the king, one man, but the whole kingdom was the head of gold. You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay. Just want to put that in India as you go along. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom, upon earth, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms. There will be something about this fourth kingdom will be so different to natural Babylon, so different to the Medes and the Persians, so different to Greece. But this one, from a political kingdom, became a spiritual kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And it conquered the whole world by deceit. What? So Daniel was seeing that in the vision. He's been told that by the one interpreting the vision to him. And shall devour the whole earth. The fourth beast, that fourth kingdom, which is different, will do what? Devour the whole earth. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. They bust it up in them two words too. They still bust it up today. Sure. The controlling power. It's different. It's economically, socially, it pollutes, destroys everything. And the ten horns out of this kingdom. Because ten horns coming out of which kingdom? The fourth kingdom. Are ten kings that shall arise. They shall arise. And another shall arise after them. That's another little one with the mouth. He will arise after them ten. See? And he shall subdue three kings. To subdue means to conquer or to suppress. It said these three kings were plucked up by the roots. Was 10 independent nations there. Because each one had their own king. But somehow from the 10 it come to 7. Let me tell you, as time goes on, there'll be more lines being drawn. And nations will be absorbed in other nations. And in this changing world that is emerging, it's very easy to see it. Because already, with this Caribbean unity even here, nation will get swallowed up. You'll have to lose your independence to survive in this new world. See? Look at East Germany. Before the wall broke down, it had an East Germany and a West Germany. Two different ideologies. Now, it's Germany. Not East Germany, not Germany anymore. It's Germany now. The Republic of Germany. Where is Germany gone? Did I stop right back up? Where the king of East Germany gone? Disappear. You see? So when the lines begin to be drawn, we're going to see places because of trade and commerce. When them trade lines being drawn and that man controlling world trade and commerce, kingdoms are going to be swallowed up. See? Even with a fear in political circles right in the country, they have to talk about annexing Tobago because they're going to own. It's so futile. But now when they realize the whole Caribbean can't even work independent of each other, you don't want to annex the big one train that. Because you build a little harbor and you have a reef out there. You guys have a disastrous world. You can't be able to travel and go and see that reef. You know what I'm saying? Let's wait. When all these islands are disappear with that global warming and the oceans start to expand and rise, you think you have any place of qualification? It's futile. Let me tell you, what man is having in their mind here and they plant billions of dollars, they go away like that, like nothing, disappear. And as we study the book, in this book especially, it shows you where kingdoms get swallowed up into other kingdoms. Because once you have world empires, nations get swallowed up. Look at in the Soviet Union, Armenia, all these different places outside here, right? They all want to go their own way. Why? Before it was all part of the Soviet Union. Exactly. Well, the same. It's just a war that make one nation swallow you up, and you are a minority race under the controlling power. Then other wars come, and you get free ideologically because of maybe the influence that is coming out of the region, and then you get freedom and liberty and freedom of expression. Look at the Catholic Church. Undergoing all them years. No, it had the first big march in Russia. Pope is getting ready to go to Russia to dedicate a big Catholic church right there, right now. See? Exactly. When you look and see those things, they make you realize something is in the move. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. You wear them out. Men will get starved out, they can't buy or sell. And they don't have the third pearl because they're foolish virgins. And they have to give their life for what they believe. And he is going to spurt water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the human seed. Is that right? Wear them out. I trust God, do like Paul, and say, I give you all that sail with you on this ship. Not one will be lost. Amen. I would like to see one left back here, brother, because look what's happening here. And he will think that change time, because the church will put power on this government to cause them to act, enact religious principles into law. Is that right? The hour of temptation that will come upon the whole world. And the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and time and the dividing of time. 2.5 years. Yes. Just enough time when Moses and Elijah is going to bring that message to bring them out of Roman hands that is strangling them like Moses and Elijah bring them out of Egyptian hands. On that sixth seal. But that guy will be in glory. So, quickly. Yeah. I want to see how best I quickly I can hit these three beasts. Now what? So we see this political strife with the winds and the sea among the people, the nations, that was causing the rise and fall of different powers. Then it says, and the fourth beast were what? Four kingdoms, because the fourth beast is the four kingdoms. Now, God had already shown Daniel in chapter 2. God wasn't giving more new revelation. He was giving more information on the same revelation. And Daniel was seeing again there was going to be four kingdoms until the Most High comes and break the power of the last kingdom. Because he saw the stone came and destroyed the four kingdoms in Nebuchadnezzar's image. And now here in his own vision, he is seeing the Most High. When he comes to set up his kingdom, the fourth kingdom will be there in the earth, wearing out the saints, changing times. But eventually they'll possess that kingdom. Is that right? And they're going to reign and have an everlasting kingdom. So, and then the angel says, that fourth beast was that fourth kingdom. And Daniel had already known from the previous revelation that there's only going to be four kingdoms of his time until Christ comes, until the stone comes. And here again, you are seeing four kingdoms, and it's going to be the same thing. And in the fourth kingdom in the image, which was the kingdom of iron, there were 10 toes. And now we see in this fourth beast with iron feet, like the iron in the fourth kingdom, and have 10 horns, just like the 10 toes of the fourth kingdom. And that is the same kingdom that is here when the Most High comes to serve his kingdom. So Daniel began to realize that what he was seeing there was something God was showing him in another symbol, but the same kingdom. But what troubled him? He saw something that he never saw in the first image. In the legs of iron of the fourth kingdom, he never saw no other toe other than the 10 toes. But now he's seen another horn apart from the 10 horns, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And that is the one even making war with the saints, even blaspheming the name of God, and even making war with God. And even changing laws and times. And that brought him. Who is this man going to rise up so great, so powerful, that could change the laws on the planet? But it'll be a whole new world. He'll be able to wreak havoc with the church. He's going to overcome them for 2.5 years. He'll be more stout than these 10 kings. As a matter of fact, she will lose their identity. She will be plucked up before him. He will subdue them. Who's able to make war with him? Sure. Let me tell you, who is making war with Saddam right now? Bush? How Bush is going to do the oil? Bush going to rule the world? America going to rule the world? No, sir. Bush is going to control trade and commerce? No. These are just things who give the power to the beast. They are just a military arm. And they have become slaves because they are broke economically and sold out to the church who had to take them out of debt. Exactly right. And then here, watch and see.
Let's look at it.
So these four beasts spoke of what? Four kingdoms. And we know there's only going to be four kingdoms from Daniel's time. But God showing them differently here intended now not to show the wealth and glory and power and majesty, but to show them kingdom as ravenous beasts devouring one another. And when he depicted them, he depicted Babylon, the first one. Now the Bible says, and he saw four beasts came out from the sea. It didn't come up together. Because he says, the first was like a lion. And behold, another beast came up after. And after that beast, another beast. They were coming up in succession. Because those four kingdoms really wasn't a world powers together. They succeeded one another. The silver succeeded the gold. The brass succeeded the silver. Then the iron succeeded the brass. Is that right? And so the bear succeeded the lion. And he saw the land of the lions, the king of the beasts. How many know that? And he had feathers like what? An eagle.
An eagle wing.
Because the eagle is king of the birds and the lion is king of the beasts. And Nebuchadnezzar, there was not any like him in the whole earth. He was the head of gold. Thou art this head of gold here. See? Turn with me quickly in Jeremiah 4. Teaching requires patience, and sometimes I like to preach more than teach. Sometimes I want to run through these things quickly and spoil it sometimes. Jeremiah 4:7. God speaking here to Israel about the coming invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. But Jeremiah was in the time of Israel captivity, is that right? Jeremiah, the prophet before the invasion, who warned them of the coming judgment because of their sins. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Who did that to Jerusalem? Nebuchadnezzar. Turn to Jeremiah 50 again and see. He keeps calling that. Verse 17. Jeremiah 50, verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria devoured him. And last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had broken his bones. You know in the book of Daniel, the lion break up all the bones? In the time of Darius there? You know that how the lion does it? Beat you up, paw, and break up your bones? And then devour you and tear to pieces? That's how the lion is moving its prey? But God is considering them kings there as the lion coming up to devour. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll punish the king of Babylon and his land, and I'll punish the king of Assyria, and I'll bring Israel to his habitation, and he shall feed on camel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied on Mount Ephraim. And verse 43 and 44, same chapter. The king of Babylon had heard the report of them, and his hands became feeble. And anguish took a hold of him and tongues of women's affair. Behold, he came up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the inhabitation of the strong. So the king of Babylon was coming up. Jeremiah, in poetic language,
We'll see Nebuchadnezzar coming up. You look at the man coming up by Jordan there as a lion begin to leave his ticket and begin to walk out. Now he's coming to hunt the prey. And look at God showing the nation in a symbol form now. First, he gives the outward what man they see. A head of gold, metals, precious metals, each one having a certain value, diminishing in value. But then, the same way it is coming down, from gold to silver, it comes from lion to bear. Same way the silver is inferior to the gold, the bear is inferior to the lion. Same way it comes from a head of gold to toes of iron and clay, down to the most worthless thing. So it came down from the lion, the king of the beast, in all its glory and majesty, to a monster. A beast. See? Same way, the same four kingdoms. But look here how Jeremiah is bringing out in poetic language here. Behold, shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint for her? For who is like me? And who will appoint the time? And who is the shepherd that shall stand before me? And he goes on to talk about, and therefore hear you the counsel of the Lord, and he hath taken against Babylon his purposes. And as he had purpose against the land of the Chaldeans. So here, he says, surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. The same way he says, that lion smelled like sheep. Little lamb coming in, like in David's time when David was with his flock. And that lion smelled like little sheep and come out there and take the sheep out of the flock. But a great shepherd arrived there and smite that lion. Is that right? So God sent the invading army coming for the prey. And he said, the least of the flock will draw them out. But there'll be a shepherd standing there to deal with that land when it comes. Amen. This is the last days. Probably the last days here. But to show Jeremiah and the Spirit of God in prophecy through Jeremiah, in vision to Daniel, in prophecy, was showing that Babylonian power there as that lion vision. What Habakkuk 1? Verse 68. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not the heirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly like the eagle that hasteth to eat. The swiftness of the conquest. God is seeing that the Chaldeans move with that swiftness. They move like the eagle when it's swooping on the brother preaching the other night. The speed 200 miles coming there. So I pray. So when the Nebuchadnezzar and them was going forth there with the boldness and the fierce of a lion, and yet with the lightning speed of an eagle conquering and invading them countries with precision, with such timing, with such strategy, they broke their powers and conquered the world. Their armies were so superior, their weapons, the military strategy were so far advanced. The sciences, the technology were so far advanced than the other nations. But they broke them as a power. And Daniel, seeing it in symbol form, God showing it to him here in the vision. That first beast, king of the beasts and king of the birds, the greatest of all powers, that was here on the earth. Babylon was a kingdom of great strength. And a special honor in Nebuchadnezzar, its conquest was extended with great rapidity. Let me tell you, in a matter of a couple of years, they conquered the world. Amen. And when you think, they didn't have planes, and they didn't have big ships in the ocean and anything, and they were moving from one place to the next with horses and foot horsemen and footmen and these things. And when they went forth to make the invasion, conquering Egypt, conquering Israel, conquering them nations round about, conquering the Medes and all those places there, and taking them under the control. And then what happened? From the time Nebuchadnezzar died, the kingdom began to go down and down and down. Until about they never had another king to stand up in comparison to Nebuchadnezzar, who had brought Babel, which was started and founded by Nimrod, by Cush and Nimrod, and brought into power and great grandeur, as the prophet said in the church age, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, which is called the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, with his military exploits, conquer the world, because we knew God says, I raise up his mighty servant, I'm using to chastise the nations, the same way God is using communism today. Is that right? We're going to use them, sure. See, now what?
And he saw that what happened to that a man's heart, the boldness and the spirit of the land and the military conquest, it vanished. The wings were plucked up and the spirit of the land, the heart of the land left, and not the heart of a man. Because Nebuchadnezzar, we find out, was no more in conquest. Read in the Bible there, he was admiring just the Babylon I have built. While I was at rest in my palace and flourishing in my house. He was no more on the battlefield. He had built an empire. There was nothing left to conquer. But inside of the air, after he died, what began to happen? It began to deteriorate because other powers in the earth was rising. Other powers who could not rise to superiority became powerful. And I said, look at Japan and Germany in the World War. They were devastated, annihilated almost as a society. And 40 years after, let me tell you, countries, big and powerful, they outdo them. Rebuild from the ashes like the phoenix, rise up from the ashes, a paradox. And ruling the world in technology and economic power today. Why? Because in that time, God caused them to prosper, and so God was causing the Medes to rise because they had a part to play in world history according to God's word that he had spoken. God had given them a time to. So what happened? Nebuchadnezzar, kingdom began to go down. It began to become so inferior until you had a Belshazzar who was on the throne there, a playboy, brother just went for a few years, and the whole kingdom fell under Cyrus. Just exactly as God assured Daniel. Daniel actually saw the head of gold and the lion with the eagle wings, which was Babylon. He saw when the wings get plucked up. He saw when the heart of the land left. He saw when they become a weak nation because they didn't have the kind of leadership that took them to greatness and power. They hadn't it anymore. They were just a society holding on for life until another power came up to take them over. Look after the early apostles, what happened to the church? It began to go down and down. Men were fighting to bring back what Paul and them preached. By the time them early apostles died, the church was being taken over and swallowed up by men was rising over where, making themselves something, claiming originality, because there wasn't the true ones who had the word inside of them to stand against the flood of the enemy and false teaching that was coming to the church. Is that right? Always happens like that. Spiritual kingdom, political kingdoms, always happen the same way. Then, the next piece was like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. It has two sides, a bear has two sides. How many know that? Yeah, it has two sides. But rather, in the position of the bear, it was raising itself on one side. It was all symbolic. It all said something. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it. What was it doing? And the voice said, arise and devour much flesh. The bear was feeding upon a prey. It was devouring its meat. What it had conquered, its food, it was feeding upon something. It represented a kingdom. And a kingdom was feeding on something else. That was making it strong. It was being nourished up by what it was feeding upon. What they had stalked and hunted and now devouring. You understand that? Remember, it is nations is talking about. It is certain powers, and you have to know how those nations became powerful through war and conquest. So let me try to help you with that. Daniel 8. If I stop short a tree, for the time's sake, we'll pick it up when we come Wednesday. Because I know the heat is becoming overbearing. The second beast. Now remember, the second beast pertained to what? The chest of silver. The chest and arms of silver. Go back to Daniel. Just hold that and turn right there to Daniel 2. 32. We compare it. So you see God had a purpose in giving the different symbols
and what it meant. And remember, all those nations are still here today. In a broken form, don't have power and real influence like they had back then, but it's still there's a people in any case. Daniel was telling them another dream here. The image's head was a fine gold. That's the lion with the eagle wings. Its breast and its arms of silver. How much arms the image had? Two. How much nations compose the second kingdom? Two. The Medes and the Persians. Notice that? What? Daniel 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. It was 2 years after. Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first, in the first year, he had a vision. Now, where he saw them four beasts. Now, in this vision, he's seen some more animals, more beasts again. And I saw in the vision, it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. In the vision, he was there, but he was not there in the flesh. But Abraham said, I'm here in the platform, but in the vision, I'm standing in the hills of Kentucky, and I'm seeing myself in the hills of Kentucky, telling the woman in Kentucky, next to our house, where the chair was, sister, your baby will be made well. He said, when I come back here, I have to wonder whether I'm in Kentucky or here. Because it was Daniel. When you read them things in the Bible, you know how perfect the spirit was not perfect. When he explained them to you. He said, in the vision, I was in Shushan, in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, out by the river of Ulai. But in the vision, I was in Arizona, 40 miles this place, I saw the vegetation, I picked a cock above my pants. But I was in the room in the house, home. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river Aram, which had two horns. Horns represent what? Kings. You see that? Represent kings, right? 10 horns in that assembly, but this particular beast here had two horns. And of the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. In the book of Daniel, which king was mentioned first of the Medes and the Persians? Darius. He was Cyrus' uncle, but then Cyrus came out. Cyrus is the one who led the invasion because Persia was the stronger of the two kingdoms. See? Persia was the stronger of the two kingdoms. That's why even today, Persia is still here, but Medes, as I say, swallowed up in that nation now. Is that called like two nations under two distinct governments, but is one. It's all up into one. One loses identity into the other one. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. How was that ram becoming great with them two horns? It was pushing westward against the beast that was there, pushing northward against the beast that was there, and pushing southward against the beast that was there. Three nations that was there, it was overcoming while it was becoming great. When Daniel saw it, the kingdom that was going to succeed, the first kingdom, it would be great because it devoured three ribs in its mouth. You know what I'm saying? Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but it did according to his will and became great. Now, when was this being given to him? In the third year of Belshazzar. So that means the Medes and the Persians didn't rise to power yet. There was prophecy. And then Daniel actually saw these people who conquered that power had two kings. The greater one came up last, and they became great by conquering three powers. There was northward, westward, and southward of Medes and Persia. And you know what was northward, southward, and westward of Medes and Persia? We're going to pick it up there, so I don't want to jump ahead of myself. He showed the three ribs that was in his mouth as these were coming.
And as I was considering, behold, an he goat came from the west. Over the face of the whole earth. See how it came? Because he was conquering nation after nation, not Alexander. That he goat. Because goat is a symbol of Greece, ram is a symbol of Persia. So now, you ought to keep in mind, as I said, maybe later on, if I feel that we're not getting it, I'm going to try to make a little chart and put it in a paper, because if I put it up on a board, you can't see it all together. But you see, you ought to keep in mind, the chest and the two hands of silver, and two hands, and then there are two horns of the ram, and then the bear on one side, it was the stronger side, where it was raised up to the Persians, on the other side was the Medes, but the Persians, got the power of the Persians, they was able to go forth and conquer nation after nation. Because Cyrus was the one in the prophecy, not Darius, who God will open the two leaf gates, Cyrus. And Cyrus didn't come from me, Cyrus came from Persia. Is that right?
Exactly.
So look. So you have to keep in mind those things. Look how perfect every time God gives it. First it was two hands and the chest of silver. Then it was two horns. Is that right? And the ram. Then there really are two kings. Then the right hand is always stronger than the left hand. Sure. Because one was always, it always indicated one was stronger than the other one, and the stronger one came up last, the greater one. And now he sees this ram is going to be attacked by a he-goat that is coming from over the face of the whole earth. And touch not the ground. For the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. This kingdom that was coming, the beast represent kingdom, had a king, a horn, so notable that was causing that goat to conquer across the face of the whole earth, even to come to take this power who had conquered these three other nations, Israel, South, and North. That bear had devoured them three ribs. It was so great. I tell you, I can imagine what the Christians in the early age must have thought when they saw the accuracy. You know, I was reading some things about the book of Daniel, and they say the book was challenged for being authentic. And they say it was something was written after Alexander the Great, some Jew gave up and write that book to kind of hold the people and influence them. You know, with religious zeal and these things. Because they don't believe that these political events that became history could have actually foretold so precisely, so accurately. They don't believe that anybody could have foreseen those things, to foretell those things. The nations, the time of the invasion, exactly what they're going to do, where they're going to come from, who they're going to take first, how much kingdom the nation is going to have before it falls. All them things, they didn't believe it could be done. But that's exactly what the spirit of prophecy does. That's why the Bible, as we were speaking the other day, is a different kind of book. Things that shall come to pass. That is uniqueness in that it foretells. And let's finish up with the second one. We can close right there, okay? And he came to the ram, and he had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close out to the ram, and he was moved with chola, or anger, against him, and smote the ram, and broke the ram to stand before him, and he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat grew great, very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. Just when the kingdom was so strong and conquered the world, just when this man had conquered the whole world, when the man died in the tree, Alexander the Great. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now let's jump to verse 15 several time. Daniel here is asking now, and came to pass, when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, and behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near when I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Because later on, the part I left out of them four horns came up another little horn. So I left out that part.
That would be the fourth kingdom.
So now, as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep, on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me up and said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be the ram which thou sawest having two horns. These are the kings of Mede and Persia. And the rough he-goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that's between his eyes is the first king. In other words, God, hundreds of years, was predicting the first king there, Alexander the Great, conquered the world. In 10 years, history says the man had conquered the world. In 10 years. Because that leopard, we didn't get to go to that, we want to go to the leopard had four heads. But notice here, out of this he-goat, when that horn destroyed, four other horns come up. So you watch and see, in that third beast, it had four heads. All right? And verse 22 says, and now that being broken, that first king Alexander, being broken, where four stood up of it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Not while Alexander is king. But after he died, after he's broken, his kingdom will split up into four kingdoms. And then was the four kingdoms, Rome took one by one, until all four was absorbed into the Roman power. And by the time AD 30, all the nations was conquered by Rome. Remember the story about Troy and the wooden horse, all them different things? Daniel 11, take one more. Yes. While we with that. Because this was in the first year now, the year King Belshazzar died, the first year of Darius the Mede. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings. Remember, Daniel saw up to the king of Persia. But Daniel died before Alexander had conquered, but that's hundreds of years after. But you will see it in prophecy. He lived under the head of gold and he lived under the chest of silver. So he is seen here. I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. God is saying, you see Darius, Daniel, you see Cyrus, but still have yet three kings to stand up here in Persia still. And the four shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. You see that fourth king after Cyrus here? Is going to, when he gets rich and becomes strong and influential, he's going to go to attack Greece. They'll start to have political tensions among them nations that will cause Greece to make an invasion against them. See? And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And not to his posterity, that means not to his seed, these are no children, to leave his kingdom to. Nor according to his dominion, which he rule, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. Look how God accurately, time and time again, was showing him the history of Greece, of the kings, the history of how much kings going to come before the fall came. God had shown it with Nebuchadnezzar. After he and his son and his son and his son, then the time will come when they come into captivity, and I will bring them into captivity. Then he said, when the Medes and Persians come, then they will devour three nations, become great. Then they're going to have two kings, then the lesser one be greater. The last one be greater. Then we shall have three after them. And when they die, the fourth one, they will have real riches by that time. Remember in the time of Esther, only Esther? That kingdom was from India to Egypt, 127 provinces. And still it didn't fall yet. It was still ruling. It didn't fall to Greece yet.
What's in the Bible?
And you see how accurate, how perfect that word is. So Wednesday I pick up the third beast. You have the time. I didn't know each one would take me so much time. But to show that three ribs in the bare mouth, you don't take a map. See, I can call them for you and you can say, oh, I know that. But you have to take a map to see the world. If you get a Bible atlas, it will because the Bible divide up certain period of times of the Gentiles. Call it times of the Gentiles. From Nebuchadnezzar till this time, it's called what? Times of the Gentiles. Gentile dominion. four kingdoms, and each one had the duration of time. And then you see the map of the world in that time to see which were the nations that they had conquered. What countries was considered the Roman Empire? Just like we had the Commonwealth, we said the Commonwealth, right? Then they call all the countries, like Australia used to be what? A prison. Right? A prison island. That where England put all the convicts. And then it became a colony. And that's why they say the Australians, they have the hard fighting spirit going down, you know. Them crocodile Dundee fellows, you see? They're rugged because of that nature. That is the kind of environment. It wasn't like a society and, you know, they had morals and, you know, they had the virtue and things. It was real hard criminals kind of society. It was a prison island. And when it's going to cost them too much money to be exporting the prisoners out of the society to keep the society clean, put them far down under the world. But they put them quite so far behind God's back, as you would say. And they have them out there in a place doing desert and snake and scorpion and these things. Then they start to maintain that. It's problems. Then after a while, what? You get organized. Because you get political prisoners. You get prisoners of crime, prisoners of different things. Then afterwards, though, but they become a colony. You know what I'm saying? See, when you study the history of the world and peoples and these things, it will amaze you. You realize there's so much things that all how they come into existence, how they come into being, how the world keep changing, how societies keep coming up. And then you see how powerful the influence of God's word is. And that BA, them three nation one, the west was Lydia, even Scofield have it in the Bible, east was Babylon, and on the south was Egypt. But Egypt, each one of them, east, west, and east, north, and south of Persia. And those are the ones in Persian history they had conquered to control, going to conquer certain countries, is going to control the trade, the resources, all those things, the riches of those countries that make you a wealthy and powerful country. And that is where they became strong, a world power, under them two kings, Darius and the Median Persia. And those were the true ribs that they had in them when Daniel saw it. Rising up on the one side, because the Persian was the stronger side, the right shoulder, the last horn, which is the greater horn. And they were the ones that brought it into power. And every one of those details, it came in the fulfillment exactly according to history. Could you imagine when Paul sat down there with them in Thessalonica? Just a few days before he leave, God, you only see about 3 months. They stoned them with stones. That's why he sent Timothy back and says, go and find how they're doing. And bring a report. Because what was taking place, they had gone so deep into the word that Paul was preaching right there in Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, about the resurrection, the seventh seal, the threefold mystery coming, about the man of sin, about Christ coming and destroying them kingdoms, about the blessed only potentate being revealed, all those things right there. But where was it coming from? Out of that book of Daniel. Because remember, Revelation wasn't written yet. So the book of prophecy they had for the last days as believers was Daniel. And then Israel, being Jews, they was under Gentile dominion. And they knew that Jesus' second coming was going to bring in the kingdom of David, what God had promised David. Do you understand that? So friends, they was looking for that second coming. And they was looking in the book of Daniel. But now when Revelation was given, then those things in Daniel, plus further truth, was given that we can see in more detail in the last days. I'll give a little homework. Read Revelation 13. You find a beast come out of the sea, which is the fourth beast. God didn't show John the first three, but he showed him the fourth one. The one that Daniel was trying to describe. It had a head like a lion, a body like a leopard. It had feet like a bear. Is that right? Read Revelation 13. I did the same thing. It blasphemed the name of God. It made war with the saints. It changed times and seasons. It had it for 42 months, 3.5 years. Showing it was exactly the same one that Daniel saw. And friends, Revelation 13 is the hour for these things that is coming out of the earth. America, or what is coming out of Europe? The nations. What is going to strangle the whole world? Do you see what we're talking about?
study it, get it, more and more, as we see, just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be turning for you and for me. Let us sing that as we worship a little bit. We have a dedication like the parents to come. Our precious brother and sister Michael Buffett would like to dedicate his son, Joseph Elijah, unto the Lord. And God bless him as a little boy and really want to dedicate him. And Brother Ellis, giving God thanks. God delivered his daughter from Fitz that we had right here in prayer her last Sunday. We certainly thank God for his grace. You appreciate this word? May it create in your heart a passion to study it. As I say, read it, meditate it, until it starts to talk back to your friends. And when it starts to talk back to you, your eyes become anointed. Then you no longer stay in the book. You start to lift your eyes out in the book and look around about you and see what is happening in this hour that we are living in. Then, friends, when you see it, you can never be the same again. You'll be looking to that eastern skies and you'll hear the songs of his coming becoming louder and louder each day. It's crescendoing now. He's running out. It'll be over. He that is filthy be filthy still. He that is righteous be righteous still. As all these things are being done, that might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through his prophet. And some of you elder ones who know the word, not your own thoughts and your own ideas, the word as you hear it ministered, and maybe you get it first, help some of these smaller ones. When you get the fellowship, you want to take out the Bible and read it over. Your parents may children ask them if they're getting it. Husband asks your wife if they're getting it. And teach them. Fellowship with them. Let's all get into it. Let's all get to see. We live in the hour God's word is coming to pass.